Hallelujah. Jesus, we come tonight. Oh, we delight to be here. It's because of you, Jesus. We want you to have your way. Lord, we want to get out of the way. We must decrease. You must increase. So have your way tonight, Lord. We just pray the Holy Spirit would permeate this place, that hearts would be moved to seek you in a deeper way as never before. And Lord, you could come tonight. That trumpet could sound when your father say, son, go get your wife. She is ready. So Lord, tonight we just rejoice in you. We're so thankful for this youth camp. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm standing up here in this piece of wood. I don't think likes having me stand on it, but praise the Lord. One of the precious brothers tied my tie for me tonight, Brother Greg Baldwin. He asked me if I wanted a double Windsor, and I thought he said a double cheeseburger. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll have you do it. So it took him a while to do it, but it looks pretty good up here. I've never had one before. Brother Hill tried to tie a tie for me, and I got him up on a chair back in his room, and that was quite an experience. And he just said, well, Kev, you're just going to have to wing it. And I said, yes. But praise the Lord. I'm glad God's got a good sense of humor. I'm so thankful tonight to be here. Been in the grace way for 44 years now. And this is the first youth camp that my precious brothers have come. And talk about a miracle. We were not a good family. We were naughty. We were ornery. My poor mom wore out lots of belts on us. And some of you knew my mom. She was precious. And she would defend this meeting with her life. And that was always her desire, to see her boys in church and walking with Jesus. And she was very, very precious to my life. And I'm just so thankful. And I know that she is happy to know that her boys are together in the things of God. Jesus is coming soon. I was thinking, when Pastor Jesse asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about, in the last 44 years, I've been the youth teacher three different times for over 25 years. And I've been thinking about, what are the things over the years I've seen? I've seen hundreds and hundreds of youth come through these doors, not necessarily here, but youth camps, and where are the young people today? Seen hundreds of them. And I thought, I know that we have three basic enemies, the flesh, the devil, and the world. And I thought to myself, as I've watched and talked to youth over the years, and the Lord put this scripture on my heart tonight, if you'll take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. But I was thinking about the things that rob the young people the most. And because all three are involved, it would definitely have to be the love of the world. And if you have your Bibles there, young people, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Young people, I don't make any apologies, because we're living in the time when Jesus is ready to come. And my heart goes out to you. I think of some of the shows that they have on TV promoting immorality. And if you are the way God would have you to be, you're almost looked down upon these days. They want you to be something that God never intended to be. I had a young brother who was born and raised in this meeting, told me down at the gym about 6 months ago, we got to talking, and it seems like on every channel there's zombie movies, there's zombie TV shows. And my wife and I, we watched the first episode for about 10 minutes and we turned the channel. And this young brother, and it's amazing, he's not here tonight, and I would say this even if he was, he says, you know, I believe in zombies. He says, I believe they're on the earth right now. There's people walking around that are dead. And I almost said, yes, there is, because I know what I was thinking, but I know what he was thinking. And young people, We're in such a bad way. The music, and you don't like me saying this, I know, and I appreciate the pastors that take a stand for this message, but the music that we have today promotes shooting police officers. It promotes killing one another. It produces hate in your heart. And it's not a cool thing. It's a thing that's very grievous, and it's very cruel. And I just encourage you, if the Lord tarries, by the end of the evening, you'll see what I'm talking about. So it's a wonderful thing. The title of my message tonight would be A True Sacrifice. This has to do with the practical side of the gospel. This word beseech in the Strong's 3870 means to invoke, desire, and pray, beg, and entreat. And it means present to yield. And verse 1 says, holy and is set apart for God, service and divine service. We should give to God, young people, that which he has redeemed at such a great sacrifice, which is yourself. We're living in a time that the grace meetings have suffered, in one sense, the loss of so many young people due to mega churches that don't teach any doctrine. They have fun things to do. They have things to go to, and yet there's no word of God even taught. And young people, you're in a place tonight that we can grow in grace and a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Amplified Version, this verse says, to make a decision and a dedication of your bodies wholly acceptable unto the Lord, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, body, soul, and spirit. And in Brother Hawkins's class that we play on Thursday night and on Saturday, a lot of you don't understand, but since dope is legal in Denver, and believe me, there's a lot of dopes in Denver, and people are moving here by the thousands just to buy marijuana. And my brothers and I were talking last night, and all of us were kind of putting down all these dope places. There's like 12 of them, two blocks from Living Waters. And I had to stop my brothers, and I said, but you know, there was a time, brothers, that we would have been their biggest users. We would have been the ones that bought the most dope from those dopes. And we did. We were not a good family. Like I said, somebody wanted to know about our testimony, and I thought, well, I'll just say just a word about how bad we were. My brothers and I would fight each other. Nobody ever wanted to fight us, but we would fight each other all the time. I remember one night I was looking for my brothers, and we had been duking it out all day. We used to have new babysitters all the time. Nobody wanted to babysit us. And I remember it was real quiet in the back room. I went back there, and I peeked my head around the corner, and both my brothers were laying on the bed sleeping, and they both had their hands around each other's throats. They fell asleep choking each other. And I thought to myself, that we're a loving family. I remember one time, I don't want to embarrass my brothers, but it's good to embarrass them. Pay them back for all the mean things they did to me. My brother Steve took a pair of scissors when Mike was running away from him and stuck them, and they threw him at him and stuck them right in his back. And Steve threw a brick one time at me, and I had to go to the hospital, almost bled to death. We were the joy of the neighborhood. But God's grace. But I just wanted to say what these three parts that we want to dedicate, and the one I want to talk about first is the body. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, young people, it says, know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's your body. So young people, I had a young person just try to tell me this last 6 months, well, there's nothing wrong with dope. You know, it's legal now. I took him to some scriptures and showed him it's not with God. It's a sin. And young people, it's a sin. You might think you're going to have a good time, but there's something that dope does. It gives you the munchies. And if you go after the munchies, you'll end up looking like me. Kind of large. So young people, your body's the temple. And God wants you dedicated to him. And that's what he wants for your life. The next one is the soul. That speaks of the seat of affections, our affections and our desires or our appetites. And the last one is the spirit. This is the highest part of the man. The spirit is the part of the man that knows. But God wants us young people to yield wholly unto him right now. Do not imitate the way of the world. It will do you wrong. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its old mold. That's another translation. But by your new attitude, be reminded that you have the mind of Christ, precious young people. The new ideals that mold your minds continue, and let God transform you. And this word conformed, as I looked it up, it says, if you are conformed to this world, it denotes union by association, companionship, and resemblance. And I thought to myself, if there was ever a time since the beginning of time that it was the evilest, I believe it's right now. We have so many things. Just this last week, we've had lots of police officers murdered. We've had lots of innocent people killed. It's terrible, but that all speaks to us. Jesus is coming. Young people, and it's time to be ready. In this scripture, it talked about three wills, but it's not really three wills. It's one will, but it's in a progressive will, young people. As you come and you get saved, you're in the good will of God. And as you go on, you're in the acceptable will. But the perfect will is what we're after tonight, young people, the perfect will of God. We will be changed from glory to glory, even to his very likeness. A young person whose heart is right before the Lord will want to have every area of your life challenged. So you might say, well, my soul is the Lord's, but then you go out and smoke dope and play worldly music. You don't understand what that does to your life. My brother Mike is sitting here tonight. We were talking a little bit before I got up here tonight. He was a rock singer for a very famous worldly group for about 30 years out in Los Angeles. And the name of the group was called Pygmy Love Circus. Now, that didn't sound like the Beatles. I remember the first night we saw the Beatles when we were three young boys, we all got a broom handle out, and we combed our hair down, and my mom didn't like that very much. In the morning, we weren't allowed to wear our hair down like that. But things have evolved. But if you would ask my brother Mike tonight, if he had to do it all over again, if he would have rather sang for the Lord Jesus for those last 30 years, he would tell you yes. And God had to give him throat cancer because of his lifestyle. He was living his life for the devil. And there was people following him. And you know something? He was never happy. I used to pray for him all the time and try to encourage him to walk with Jesus. And my brother Steve was an honorary scamp too. And my father, bless the Lord. See, young people, we have no excuse. I don't care what kind of family you're from. You can be from a broken family. Somebody maybe came by and picked you up to come to youth camp. And the devil might be lying to you all the time and getting you to try to feel sorry for yourself. But if you have Jesus in your life tonight, you're rich. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. And we don't want to be conformed to the world, young people. Believe me, I knew the world like very few people. I loved the world. I was a monster in the world. But now I love the world in a different way. I love souls. I care for people's souls. I don't want to see anybody go to a Christless eternity. I do my best to tell men every week that Jesus loves them and that he died for them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, young people. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Young people, right now Jesus could come. And what this whole camp is basically about is trying to get your love to change. I'm thankful all of you love Jesus as your Savior, but we want you to fall in love with Jesus this week and have him as your bridegroom. That's what we're looking for, is have that special love. I told you before, a few years ago, when I came home from my first youth camp, I had a picture. I didn't know what Jesus looked like. He looked like a hippie. I didn't know what the Word of God said. And I set the picture in my bathroom as I was taking a bath. And my mom walked in, and she looked at me, and she goes, "What's that?" And I said, "It's Jesus's picture." And she thought I was going off the deep end. See, it was bad enough when I was on drugs and carrying a gun every night. Every Friday night, young people at my house, you can ask my brothers if I'm telling the truth, all my friends would meet at my house, and we would start smoking dope and doing drugs, load up our weapons and go out downtown looking for fights and looking for stuff. We weren't afraid of anything. We were so conformed to the world. We played the music so loud, I'm surprised I can even hear. And I'll tell you something, that is very harmful. Now the sweet music that I want to play is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We have the Word of God. In Romans 13, 14, it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh." Young people, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. God didn't want them to go back, but as soon as they got out, they started complaining and wanted to go back. I see that all the time. I see some of your faces up here. And it's real easy to spot ones that are out in the world. It really is. It's easy to spot it. And the sad thing is, you don't know what you're doing, young people. The world wants all of you, but Jesus wants you more. And he's got more to give you. To be totally yielded to the Lord and surrendered to him is the only way we should be, young people. The sad thing today, what's the most amazing, a lot of young people don't even know they're in the world. That's amazing. You know how many times young people will ask me, "Well, you think I'm out in the world?" Well, and I said, "Well, there's a good way to tell." I says, "Go to the Word of God." And you know something, young people, to be out in the world, you have to yield to the flesh. You do. You cannot be out in the world and not yield to the flesh. And if the young people are here and they have a piece of paper and they would like to write down a couple of scriptures I want to give you, and I want you to look up where it says about the works of the flesh. You want to know if you're out in the world? If you want to know if you're yielding to the flesh? Go to Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh. Colossians 3:5 also. Now those are the things that tell us. You read those things right there and it'll tell you about the flesh. And if you're out in the world, you are doing these things. And you are yielding to them. But then there's the fruit of the Spirit, young people, found in Galatians 5:22. And young people in Colossians 3:1-2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, young people, and not of things of the earth." You are, speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. You don't know how many times I caught myself when I started coming to church. I would go to a Friday night prayer meeting and then go out afterwards out in the world. And I'd be standing there with a joint in my hand. I don't even know what they call it now. The inmates always giggle at me and they say, "Kevin, it's been so long since you've been out in the world, you don't even know what it's called anymore." Well, I'm thankful for that. But I'd be standing there with the joint. I'd take a huge hit. It was terrible. I could almost down a whole cigarette in one puff. That's how big my lungs are. And I'd stand there and I'd say, "You know what? Jesus is wonderful." And then I'd blow it out. And the guys that I was talking to would be looking at me. And you know something? I didn't have a testimony. He said, "If you love Jesus so much, why are you doing this?" And it suddenly dealt with my heart, young people. You know, I love people. And I don't want to be somebody that stumbles. You young guys, you try to fit into the world with hairstyles, the way we dress. You know something? The Lord is getting me in a place more and more where I'm weaker and weaker and weaker. But if that's what God wants to do, that he can use me more for his glory, let it be. I'm 61 years old now. I remember the good old days, Brother Hines and I. We used to get the people from Kansas and have volleyball matches. And we didn't have a volleyball, so we used to use big rocks. Now, if you don't believe me, ask him. Him and his dear wife would watch us, and they would play with us. And it's so funny. Jack Davis would be out there, and I'm proud to say that Denver's team usually won because we were twice as tall as everybody else. So praise the Lord. But young people, where did the years go? I first came into church when I was 17 years old. I had a gun on me the first time I came in to Living Waters on a Wednesday night. I was sitting on the back row with about 6 or 7 guys that I used to fight with. And I remember the door opened up and I heard a squeak. And out from an office came a pudgy little man with his glasses on. And he preached a message about faith. He preached a message that changed my life. And I never could get away from it. And I remember they had been trying to get me to come to church for weeks. "You got to come and hear Brother Hill." "Well, who is Brother Hill?" Oh, he preaches about something called the bride of Christ. And I said, the bride of what? They said of Jesus. And I thought, you know, that sounds kind of cool in a way, to be married to Jesus. But my life was never the same after I heard that man. I remember the first time we met, he came up and kissed me right on the mouth. And I looked at him, I thought, wow, that was kind of different, getting kissed by a man on the mouth. And I used to love it when the Denver Broncos were coming. We had some of the Broncos coming when I was in wrestling, and you know something? They got kissed on the mouth too. Brother Hill was no respecter of persons. He would kiss them, and you know something? It didn't bother them. They said, wow, that's amazing. That man really loves me. See, when you have the love of God, young people, you love everybody. You don't turn away from anybody. And I know Brother Dean, bless his heart, he's been so special to my heart. I hope he knows what he means. He came and worked at the Korean church with me for years. He worked in the prison work. And I remember the night that I think I met him was on January 1st. Dean was a bad druggie. And man, that night over at Chris Wilson's house, I think he might have already been saved, I don't remember, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit that night. He got delivered from drugs that night. And here he is, an elder in our church, changed from glory to glory, even to his very likeness. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, the Lord wants us to come out from among them. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Young people, if you think you're having a good time out in the world, you're making somebody miserable. I'll just tell you something right now, and it's mostly yourself. Your friends out in the world don't want you. I'll just read a couple scriptures about what Jesus said about the world. Now, Jesus wants us to love everybody in the world. But in John 15, 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. See, it's always about love. I appreciated the last two messages. Jesse Priest and our precious brother Michael Coe last night. It's all about love, precious young people. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you think the world loves you? The Bible says, Jesus says the world hates you. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world, young people. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that do the will of God abideth forever. There's things, young people, that we need to get cleared up this week. You can go home, if the Lord tarries, a new creation in Christ. And there could be somebody here tonight that's not saved. Our brother gave the altar call in their, your hearts last night. I remember Brother Hill said one thing about, Brother Hill, I believe, was 21 when he turned his life over to Jesus. There was one thing he said, one regret that he had, that he didn't do it earlier in life. I was 17. I wish I would have been raised in this meeting. It would have been hard. I could see me and my two brothers getting up there trying to sing a special like that. That would have been pretty funny. We'd have probably gotten a fist fight right in front of the whole church. Praise the Lord. But see, God's mercy, here we are up here staying in the room together and talking about Jesus and getting ready to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the hardest things, young people, that the devil lies to you about is your friends out in the world. Now I want to ask you, are you a friend of the world? I remember a young boy, my brothers will remember this name, Joe Victorio. Brother Hill married him when he was a young boy. He came and sat on my chest outside of a bar one night. I was laying upside down speaking in tongues, young people. And he came in and he goes, Sav, what are you doing? He's socking me in the chest. What are you doing, Sav? And he says, are you crazy? And you know something, I was crazy in love with Jesus. But I didn't realize God wanted me to come out from that place. Not one real good thing ever took place. I would go to that bar all the time after I got saved. And you know something, people did get saved. I'm thankful for that. Their name were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I had no testimony. There was no convicting power of the Holy Spirit. because I was out in the world conforming to the world. And if you want to be a real friend, yield to God. There was two friends in the Bible, the greatest friendship, but it didn't end the way it could have. I remember the sermon Brother Hill preached about Jonathan and David. Their love for each other was magnificent. It said it passed the love of a man and a woman. They made a covenant with each other. And I've had friends like that. I'm so blessed. I don't see him up here tonight, but Brother Derek, I met that precious, precious little brother when he was 13 years old. And we fell in love with each other. And the thing that was so special about Derek is that he loved Jesus so much. He studied his Bible, got grounded. If you don't think Derek knows his Bible, ask him some Bible questions. Derek has got a sharp sword. But it's the love of God. And I thought today we're living in a time where people are getting shot that look like that. People are getting shot that look like me. It's terrible. I wish Jesus would come. I want him to come. But in this story, these two men had that love for each other, but Brother Hill's title of his sermon was that Jonathan turned back. Jonathan went with his father as David went into exile and got into his kingdom. Now, young people, I know some of you have friends you think that are great. They might be a good friend to you, but you're not fair to them if you don't witness to them about what you've got in your heart. Ask yourself when the last time somebody asked you, young people, what is the hope of your calling? Why do you go to a Friday night prayer meeting? Why don't you cuss like the rest of us? Why don't you drink like the rest of us and read pornography? Why don't you do these things? You know why? Because Jesus means something to you. But you're robbing your friends when you don't tell them. And most of all, live that way in front of them, young people. People need to see Jesus in you. People are dying and going to hell, young people. We need to have a first love. We read in Revelation, it's been quoted, that many have left their preeminent love. Well, I ask you tonight, have you had the preeminent love yet? That means that you love Jesus so much that you can't sleep at night, that you lay in bed and weep for Jesus. My mom thought I was in a cult. She would come back in the bedroom at night, and I had a little blue desk in the back room, and it could have fallen apart at any time, and I was trying to read my Bible. She'd come in and said, poke the side of my head and said, are you losing your mind, boy? You're spending all your time reading that Bible. And I said, Mom, you don't understand. I'm in love with Jesus. I love him with all my heart. And the religions we had, they were dead. They didn't satisfy. Only Jesus Christ satisfies. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. But tonight, young people, you can have that preeminent love. You can have that love that you just want to stand up for Jesus and be proud of him. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And thank God, young people, tonight you can be ready and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Steps to be freed from the grasp of this world. I know how bad things are. There's a young brother sitting over here. If you haven't heard his testimony, Aaron yet. And he knows how much he means to me. I met him in a prison a few years back. I remember he would come out and stand on the front row when I would give messages. And the first time our eyes met, there was something special about him, and I didn't know what it was going to be. And he filled out a kite for me to come and see him in a few weeks. And I went to see him. That's when they were already coming down on me. They didn't like the fact that people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit because the poor guards had to stand right there and watch. I remember the day that Aaron came and he stood at the sink and he said, I want to receive what you got. And I said, well, it's a good thing, so hang on and we're going for it. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he got out of prison, he came and got married at church with his beautiful wife, Brittany. And if you look on a Sunday morning, they've taken up a whole pew now. I'm going to have to get Jesse to put a thing called inmates pew on the side over there. But it's so precious. But young people, things that will free us up from this. We're living in the Laodicean age. People are lukewarm right now. And you know what? If you're lukewarm tonight, young people, come down here and pray. Stay down here till you get it right with Jesus. The Bible says receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Last week, four men on a Friday morning got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that 2 days earlier, there was a man, I gave an altar call. I give one at the beginning of the service because I want to make sure they're all saved before we get going. And this one guy kept raising his hand up in the back row, and I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, this guy right here, my roommate's not saved." And I thought, well, you embarrassed him to death. I would have crawled underneath the pew, you know, but he embarrassed him. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." I said, "You listen to the service. Then afterwards, if you're still not saved, I'll do whatever it takes." So I gave the last altar call, and the guy raised his hand again, and he said, "He wants to receive Jesus." They brought him up to the altar, and I said, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name is Felipe Ruiz." Didn't know he'd been on TV a lot in Denver lately. He was a big heroin dealer from Chicago. A dear Spanish man. So I stood there and looked at him and mean looking. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I was twice his size. So I wouldn't have to be afraid of him. But he came up and gave his heart to Jesus. And you know something? A couple of days later, I got four kites. And his name was on one of the kites. And I remember he was the last guy that day to receive the Holy Spirit. And when he came out, I touched him. And the devil said, "Well, he's not going to get filled. He's too mean. Just look at him. He can't get filled." And I said, "Satan, you're a liar. In the name of Jesus, be gone." And sure enough, Felipe got filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes, "That was an interesting experience, Brother Kevin." I said, "It is interesting. And it's wonderful." God's got a good sense of humor. And there's two other guys. The name of this gang is called the Gallant Knights Insane. Now, they're called, two guys, Aaron told me what it is in prison. They're called shot callers. They decide who's going to live and die. They make shot calls on, if they're in the yard, go over and kill that guy with a shank, get rid of him. Well, these two handsome guys came out. They were two of those four guys. They told me that this gang is the second biggest gang in America right now. The Gallant Knights Insane. I thought, oh, dear Jesus. Well, you know something? They both got filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's one man named Chucky Martinez. Every time, it's been such a trial for me. Because when he comes out, before he comes out to go to church, he gets beat up. Every service, he'll come out with a black eye or a broken nose. His face gets pummeled because his gang doesn't want him to quit the gang. And I told him, I said, "Chucky, you're in God's gang now. And God is faithful." And his head guy was one of the ones that got filled the other day. And you know something? It's worth it to suffer for Jesus. I got mad and my flesh got involved. I started hollering at all 50 men that were in the service that day. And I wanted to know who was beating up on my little brother. And I was going to go over and take care of him for Chucky. You know what Jesus told me? "You pray for him. I'll take care of him." So I'll tell you something. God's grace is magnificent. The great sacrifice that Jesus gave. And the main reason, young people, that we don't love the Lord, because we don't realize how much Jesus loves us. We love him because he first loved us. You read in your Bible, in the book of Psalms, and read what he did for us. The seven steps down in the book of Philippians, young people, chapter 2. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And read Psalm 69, young people, the trespass offering. And Psalms 22, such great sacrifice. He gave everything for us. Don't you think we at least should give our lives to him? Not just our heart, but our lives too, young people. In closing, Brother Hill used to tell us about two Chinese boys. Some of you will remember this story. I cried so hard, I was ashamed after hearing this story, how little I loved Jesus. Two young Chinese boys were transfer students from China. And it was back east at a college that they found a little church they wanted to try. And they started going to the church. Well, both of them gave their hearts to Jesus and got saved. And one of them wrote a letter to his parents right away and told them what had happened to him, that he'd met Jesus and he loved him with all of his heart. And the other boy didn't write his parents right away. But they both went and talked to the pastor, and the young boy that wrote his parents got a letter back from him. And in this letter it said, "Do never ever come home ever again. We disown you. And if you show up at your home, you will be murdered. Your life is over with." And they didn't even sign their names. It was from his parents. And he was crying as he was sitting there talking to their pastor. And the other young boy says, "Pastor, we've got a plan that we can talk to our parents. My parents don't know that I'm saved yet. So what I'm going to do is fly home and witness to them in person. And I'm going to go over to his family and finish the job. And if they should kill me, I'll be with Jesus." And I heard that and I was so ashamed of how little I love Jesus. I said, "Lord, they didn't know the truths that we know, but they had the same wonderful Savior." And young people, if you have never received the Holy Spirit, some of you have, and it's time to stir up the gift that is in me. But I know a lot of you, and you know something? The sad thing is, Precious Hearts, we call this youth camp. But I know some adults sitting here right now that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to sit here, and 1 second after the trumpet sounds, and you miss God's best. And that doesn't sound very nice for me to say that, but that's the only way I know how to say it. I preach in a prison. I have to tell it like it is. You're going to miss God's best for an eternity. And I'll tell you something right now, nothing is more valuable than Jesus. And he is so wonderful, and he's so precious. It's just his grace that we're here today. And he's coming soon. They've had 3 men attack guards this last week. 2 of them had their throats slit. I tell my wife, I don't know if the Lord would allow that to happen to me. But like Brother Hill used to say, I'm not dead, I'm in glory. So young people, we love you so much. But if you're here tonight, don't tell me that you can't get filled. We've had 4-year-old children get filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a dear, precious 88-year-old woman on her birthday, sweet Brittany and her precious sister. She heard that she wasn't baptized scripturally. And can you imagine about caring about that? 88 years old on your birthday a year ago. She goes, "Well, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus, not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So my wife and I got invited over for a free dinner. You know, I wouldn't pass that up. So we went over there and they kind of said, "Well, you know, she also wants to get filled with the Holy Spirit." So we had a magnificent meal. We baptized her in the name of Jesus. That woman had a warmth for the Lord. And right then we prayed, all of us around the table, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. I did her funeral about 3 weeks ago. And I believe she went home an overcomer. Some of the last things she said, Brittany told us, was, "I want to marry Jesus. I'm ready to marry Jesus." And I went over to see her, and they were all laying on top of her, kissing her and hugging her. That precious life. God is faithful, young people. He'll meet your needs. Be a friend to the world and tell them about Christ. Don't put it off, young people. You don't know how much longer you've got. A true friend loves at all time. Like I said, if you're here tonight and you're adult and you've never been filled, that's nice, but what a wonderful thing. Humble yourselves. You might have a 5-year-old child praying with you to get filled. That'd be pretty hard on your flesh, wouldn't it? "Yeah, I got filled. The kid was this big praying with me." You know, it doesn't matter what it takes. Because that might be what you need, is to have a 5-year-old to pray with you to get filled. So God is faithful, precious lives. We love you. The world's getting worse every day. As Brother Hawkins always said, when one of these dear saints go home, they're not being replaced. It's getting darker every day. I almost don't even like to read the newspaper anymore. Three people shot the night before just because somebody's a different color. You never know. They could have been best friends had they met under different circumstances. This world is filled with hate, but we've got love. We've got Jesus. People need to see Jesus in his young people, middle-aged people. And I'm one of those old people now, too. So thank God. We love you so much. We just want you to have God's best. And God can do anything. If you knew, like I said, about my brothers and me, we couldn't be together for 5 minutes without wanting to sock each other. God's mercy. Now we're talking about running the race and winning Jesus together. And I know my mom is happy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. We don't want to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's the mind of Christ. And we need to let that mind in us. And we get that mind by being saturated in the Word of God. And young people, we need to study our Bibles. We need to feast on the Word of God like never before. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in the time of need. We need to be bold for Jesus. If you should tarry, Lord, these little ones are going to go home and see their little neighborhood friends. And, oh, what did you do at youth camp? We can stand there and be proud and say, I fell in love with Jesus more. And I want to marry him. How about you? So thank you, Lord, for these young people. Thank you for this camp. Thank you for those that came a long way. There's ones that had to fill in this last week at the church. And we want to remember them and say, thank you, Lord, for those ones that have to fill in. So their pastors and shepherds could be here to feed us. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's one tonight that's not filled, and Lord, if there's anybody that would like to be filled, come on down right now and say, Jesus, I want to be filled. It doesn't have to take a long time. You don't have to wrestle with it. He's already poured out the Holy Ghost. The Blessed Comforter's here for you, young people. Just pour your hearts out. Come down now, and he will meet the need of your life. You'll be changed from glory to glory, even into his very likeness. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, stir their hearts up for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.